It's your boy Cito on the beat, and you're listening to me right now on Rebel Radio.
What's good, everybody? It's Sui, and you're listening to me on Rebel Radio. Gang. Hey, fuck you, Josh.
Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
What did you say, Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels that are shaping our culture. We talk about how they do it, why they do it, and what you can do to get a little piece of the pie for yourself. We're also the only show to bring you new music every week from our friends over at EDM.com. I'm Josh Levine, and check it out. In studio with me today is Cito. Cito is a hot producer, still kind of working his way up, but already making big things happen. He's got tracks with Cardi B, Kevin Gates, YG, Ty Dolla Sign. The list goes on and on. He's working on his own project right now. And he brought with him a special surprise guest, Sui Generis, aka Sui. They're close friends and work closely together. Sui is a 16-year-old rapper who's already doing big things. He's got a big single out called Now with Lil Skies and a lot more to come. Some great lessons about what you go through as an artist and producer in 2019 and beyond. We hear a lot about consistent productivity, the constant demands for new content, for putting out music, getting feedback, handling criticism. We also explore a little bit of the generational differences because we have a pretty broad age range from myself down to Sui. You know, as it relates to music, for those of you who remember maybe longingly the days of albums and long songs, extended mixes, you know, Sui had a message that if you're making music today that's more than 2 minutes long, you are you're out of sync with the time. So really, really interesting stuff we get into here in our interview, and we're going to jump into it right after the EDM.com track of the week.
Do your thing, show your worth. Do your thing, do your thing, do your thing, show your worth. Do your thing, show your worth, show your worth. Do your thing, put on work.
Yeah, buddy.
Do your thing, show your worth. Do your thing, show your worth. Yeah. Do your thing, show your worth. Setting up, I got them all on red alert. Every day we put in work. I don't know you, but you're gonna get it first. Yeah. I'm that new addition. Fucking with me, got that new precision. Me and the beat make a collision. Running back and getting dance, tunnel vision. Go make your decision. John made us down like London Vision, Cataclysm.
Yeah, that was Just Matthew with Show Your Worth, the EDM.com track of the week. If you like that one, get over to EDM.com, check out more new music. And let's get into our interview with Cito and Sui Generis. I appreciate you guys making time come do this. I know you're in the studio making hits, so
yeah, man.
It's great that you take a minute out. So maybe talk about the record a little bit that you're working on now.
Well, we got a single out right now called Family. Mm-hmm. It's featuring Tory Lanez and TJ Porter. So we've been pushing that right now. You know, that's my main single that I've been pushing at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's been, you know, we put it out like beginning of the summertime. And it's been doing good.
Yeah.
You know, now we're working on Sui's album. Got a couple of things in the works.
So he was telling me, I asked him how you guys met. He said you just met over Instagram.
Yeah. He put out a record like 2 years ago called Pull Up.
Yep.
And I saw the video and I thought it was dope. So I hit him up and we linked. We've been working ever since.
Pull up with a Molly, I got perks, perks. Yeah. Pull up in a foreign, nigga, skirt, skirt. Playing with the bitches, now they hurt, hurt. Yeah. Getting all this money.
So how do you know, like, how do you know if you want to work with somebody?
I don't know. It's like, it's the vibe. Like, I got to hear the music. If I like the music, I usually link with the artist and then kind of just vibe with them. And
yeah.
Then, you know, you kind of, you know, I feel like artist producers got to have, like, chemistry, you know, so I go off of just energy, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, how the vibes with the artist. That's how I know if I want to work with them or not, you know.
I mean, that's what we were just talking about, right, is, like, you know, that's kind of the old days was, like, everybody was in the studio and you have that vibe. Now it's like stuff happens over email, or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, I work with artists like that too, but yeah there's a disconnect with that too, you know, because like, you know, you might send music over that might not really be what the artist is looking for.
Right.
That's why it's always better to get in the studio with the artist and work.
Do you think you can hear it in the music? Like, you know, do you feel like you can hear that connection on the track?
It depends. Mm-hmm. You know, like, me and Sui work all the time. So when I'm back home, I send work over for him to record.
Right.
It kind of sounds like the same when we work in person. I mean, it's a little different when we work in person. But
sure. But now you guys kind of know each other.
Yeah, exactly. So it just depends. But if you're just sending out records to artists that you've never met,
right.
Yeah, you could definitely probably hear the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like to kind of start at the beginning. I want to, you know, I want to talk about how you got to this point and where you're going next. So I'm going to ask you both a question. Do you remember the first record you ever bought?
I do. First record I ever bought was The Dynasty, Jay-Z.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first album I ever bought.
Yeah.
What was the first album you bought?
I think the first album I bought, I think it was my own.
Seriously?
That's crazy.
Yeah, my first album I bought it. It's cause like I would never really buy an album. Like I would never, like I would just look it up and go right. Get it, like get a crack or something. Man, these sure. are, you know, you an old head, so you gotta buy that
little,
shit.
I'm a little old dude.
Nah, but sure. I never bought stuff like that. I would just like look it up.
Yeah.
And just find it for free.
For sure. Do you buy records now?
Huh? Well, sometimes like I'll go on iTunes and I'll purchase it just because I want to have it forever, right. You know.
Yeah.
Or it's just my homies that I just be like,
yeah,
hey, the money goes to them, you know.
Whatever, yep. For sure.
Show support.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's funny. And how did you get started making music? What was the like? Were you always?
I started producing when I was like 13.
Okay.
And I started in my bedroom.
Who introduced you to that?
A cousin of mine. I don't know if you remember back in the day, there used to be a video game for PlayStation, the first PlayStation. It was called Music Generator.
Oh, yeah.
It was made by MTV.
Yeah.
And it was a game where you could actually make music on it.
Yeah.
So my cousin used to play that game. He put me onto the game. And then, like, I fell in love with just the idea of, like, oh, man. I guess growing up, I always thought that whenever I heard music, it was always a band.
Right.
So I always thought that there was a bunch of people in the room. So when I found out that a producer could do the guitars, piano, drums all on his own, one person could create an entire record, like, you know, it was interesting. So I was like, man, I'd like to do this. This sounds dope, you know?
Yeah.
And I just started doing research. I bought programs and bought myself a keyboard, and I just started, like, you know, getting my dad to just get me mad stuff just so I could start. And that's how I started. And then when I graduated high school, I opened my first studio. So I opened, like, my own recording studio, and I kind of just gained experience through that.
So you're 13. Did you have the confidence to go play beats for people, or were you shy about it?
I think the first few years were kind of just me in my room, kind of just getting myself together. So I didn't really show people a lot of my work. Yeah. I was just getting good at what I did, you know. I didn't start playing beats for people till I was like 17.
Sure. You know? Yeah. What about you? You remember like first time rapping for other people, performing?
First time, I mean, I was like 12 years old at like a family party.
Wow.
And I just had come up with like, you know, some raps, and I was like walking around showing my family, and then they were just like, yeah, that's cool, but go away, I'm drinking, like, I don't want to hear this right now. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's good, I get it, I wouldn't want to hear it either.
Right.
And then I go, and then like just keep practicing, and then like And then everybody started hearing it when I started recording it.
Yeah. This episode of Rebel Radio is brought to you by HoneyBook. Now, I love having HoneyBook as a sponsor of our show because, you know, I run a creative business. I know a lot of you do. And if you're like me, you didn't get into it because you wanted to do the administration stuff. You got into it because you wanted to be creative. And so HoneyBook is an online business management tool that lets you organize all your client communications, bookings, contracts, invoices, all in one place. You can consolidate the services you already use, like QuickBooks, MailChimp, Gmail, all that stuff. It's a great choice for client and business managers, for freelancers, business owners. It just lets you do everything that you need to do faster and better so that you can focus on what you really want to do. Save time, do more of what you love using HoneyBook. Right now, HoneyBook is offering listeners of Rebel Radio 50% off your first year with the promo code REBEL. Payment's flexible, and the promotion applies whether you pay monthly or annually. So go to honeybook.com and use the promo code REBEL for 50% off your first order. That's honeybook.com, promo code REBEL.
When, I'll ask both of you, when was there a moment when you knew, like, this is going to be my career?
When I was 13,
yeah.
The minute
from
like,
day one.
The minute that I picked it up, I said, "This is what I want to do."
Yeah, so just from day one,
yeah,
you knew what it was gonna be.
Yeah, from you know, yeah. Once I picked up the program, I was like, "Yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life."
Yeah,
like, yeah. I even told my parents like when I was in high school, I'm like, "I'm not going to college," and they looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm
is that
like,
right?
You know, and yeah, they looked at me like I was crazy, and I was like, "Nah, I'm gonna save up my money. Every dollar I can, and when I graduate high school, I'm gonna use my money and open my own small recording studio." And like my dad's a musician, so he was kind of like all for it. My mom wasn't crazy about me not going to college, but
yeah, of course.
You know,
what's your dad play?
My dad is actually a music producer, but he plays a little bit of everything. He plays guitar, bass guitar. He plays keys. And I play a little bit of everything myself, drums. So,
what'd you learn from him about the business side?
You know what? I never really learned too much from him on the business side, but I learned a lot musically, you know, as far as playing. Like when I started producing when I was 13, I already played instruments. I've been playing the drums since I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing the piano when I was 9. So it kind of made the process a little easier for me when I started producing.
Yeah.
I already knew how to play instruments. So like I was musically inclined, so it wasn't like I was just picking up a program and not knowing what to do. Like I kind of already knew how to play, I knew how to come up with melodies, so it was just kind of just like polishing myself.
Man, I remember I had, you know, I've always had a lot of friends that were producers and stuff, and then one of them, I was like, let me borrow a keyboard, and I took something home, and I was like, man, I spent like a good weekend just trying to figure it out, and I was like, this is not gonna happen for me.
I don't know.
I wasn't gonna figure it out. On my own,
it comes natural for me.
Yeah,
I think I don't know. Like we work. Like the other day, he goes to me, "Yo, I want this kind of vibe," and I made him like 2 beats with that vibe in like 20 minutes. It just flows out of me.
It's crazy.
Just comes out so fast, you know.
Like I can't even make songs, even if I freestyled every single lyric. I couldn't make songs fast enough to catch up to his beats that he makes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I just like.
So talk about that. I noticed, you know, I've seen on your website you got beats for sale.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about, but you know, it seems like you make a lot of music, right?
Yeah,
you
have, I definitely.
Yeah,
do.
I don't know how many beats even just right now on the site. I'm sure you have way more.
Yeah.
I have
the site up because. You know, just working with artists like Sui or like TJ, you know, I've done records for YG and Ty Dolla $ign, and it's like, so just having that catalog, I get a lot of up-and-coming artists that want to work. So I just started a website kind of just to make it affordable for them to, like, you know, like be able to purchase music. That's why I have the website up there.
I mean, I think that's an amazing idea. That's obviously a new concept, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's different people doing it that you can just buy a beat and go make a track.
Yeah.
Well, first I was gonna ask you, did you ever get like writer's block, or is it just always?
I used to. It's been a minute though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I don't get it anymore because I probably will again, but I haven't in a while. It's probably been like 2 years.
What'd you do? How'd you like break out of it?
I think it's just everything's just practice, you know. Yeah. I just practice how to just constantly be creative, you know. Like anytime that I feel like I can't come up with an idea, I listen to something. Yeah. I'll listen to something similar to what I want to make, and I kind of just, I wouldn't say I copy, but I kind of like just grab vibes from different places. Yeah, sure. And just like,
I feel like,
you know,
everybody does that. Yeah, like, you have in to, everything, right? In life, like there's nobody who's like completely something else, you know.
Yeah,
sure.
You just go off what you
hear. Yeah, like I don't believe anything's original. Everything, you know, it's about how you make it authentic, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know some people, they like, you know, they go to the beach, or they go up a mountain and try to get inspired, or they go, you know, whatever. Yeah. You go play basketball. Or like,
she thought just party.
Yeah, I'm a party animal.
He'll go party, yeah. He'll come back, I can make some beats all drunk.
Yeah, I love it. That's all I do. I just make music and I party.
Okay.
Yeah, I party hard.
Is that right?
Yeah, I love the nightlife, OD.
What's the vibe right now?
Man, I go to everything, honestly. Yeah. I go to all clubs. Like, I was out last night. I got back to the house like 6 in the morning.
What's your favorite party going on?
Different stuff. I go like back home. I go to a lot of brunches, mm-hmm. like on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You know, summertime I do a lot of pool parties. You know, I do Taco Tuesdays. Like, okay. You know, Wednesday.
So you just be out.
I'm just always out. Like, yeah. I know what
Taco
night.
Taco Tuesdays, fun Wednesday.
Yeah,
free Thursdays.
I know the vibe for every. Yeah, like, yeah. I know what party's going to be lit. Each day of the week, so I know I'm gonna go to this club on Mondays. That's their good night. Or yeah. I'm gonna go Sundays to this spot. Like, I know every yeah. spot has a good night. So like, I know.
Well, I'm gonna hit you up when I come to New York, man. I used to know the spots out there. Now,
yeah, I know all the spots.
I bet.
Yeah.
Nice. You're the same, or you're laid back?
Nah,
you're
like in the cut.
He's 16. He can't even go out.
Nah, I can go out. Nah, I don't like it though. It's no. like.
Yeah, he's not really into the party scene like that.
So what do you do? What's your creative, like, where do you get your creativity?
It's crazy. I just get it all out my room. Like, just sitting in there, like, listening to different kinds of music. Like, the cool thing is, like, me and, like, all my cousins and all my friends, they all do music. So, like, they'll send me music. They'll talk to me about music. Like, if I'm on a call with anybody I know, they're all music related, so it's like I'm just inspired by that, you know. Like, one of my homies will send me a song and it's like so fire. I'm like, yo, this kind of inspired me to like make some shit right now.
Sure.
That's just what I be doing.
Yeah. So when did you figure out that this was gonna be your path? Not at that family party.
Nah, definitely not at that family party. What's it called? I was just like, honestly, I didn't figure it out. It was my brother Cold Nights. He was like, he realized like that it was getting out of hand. I was just going to school like normal, my song out, and it was just going up. And then when labels started hitting us up, like my pops just pulled me out because it was just getting hectic.
Nice.
And then that's when I kind of knew that shit was gonna go crazy like that, you know?
Yeah. Was there What was the track that like broke for you?
For sure now, huh?
Now.
Luis Vasito.
Yeah, we got a record with Lil Skies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I produced it. Sui featuring Lil Skies. It went crazy.
Yeah.
Damn, bro, we're like at 30 million streams on that record.
Is that right?
Yeah, the record deal. We got a plaque for that record.
Nice. So what happens? What happens when that, when that record's blowing up, and you guys realize like, we got something. What happens? What happens inside you, and what happens like with your phone and your and all that?
Things definitely got better for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. And even for sure. I mean, you went on tour right after that, right?
I went on tour with Skies. Yeah, it was like
first tour.
Yeah. It was crazy. Like when you drop something like that, like we were just like, I was dropping stuff, and I was just like, it's doing good, but like, my family still ain't eating off this, you know? And sure. Then, like, when now dropped, I actually seen, like, money coming in and everything getting better, and I'm just like, yo, like, this is such a blessing for all the work me and Cito put in. Like,
yeah.
To get that one song, I went to New York and me for, like, three or four days. And we made a whole entire album, and then nobody's ever heard that album. We just pulled Now out, Gave it a skies, pulled it back, and dropped it.
Dropped it as a single, yeah. That was one out of, like 12 songs we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we made, like, 12 songs in the span of, like, 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was dope. That's one of them. It's always like that, though, man. Like, the way we record is, like, we'll make a bunch of songs, uh-huh. and then we just, like, pick the best ones, you know? Like, we don't go in, like, all right, we're going to keep every song. Like, we just record.
Yeah.
We just, you know, make as many songs as we can, and then we'll pick the best. So it's always like that. Like, we just work on big batches of records and then pick the best, you know, maybe one or two songs out of the batch.
I mean, that's cool that you say that, because I feel like a lot of people think that everything they do, if it has to be good.
Yeah.
Right? Or it might be good, but you know what I mean? And, you know, for me, I always feel, I was explaining to my son last night, my son's 9, and I'm like, I have so many bad ideas, and I have to get those out in order to get to the good ones.
Yep.
Right? And that's cool to hear you say.
Happens to us all the time. Like, you know, we get stuck in rut, you know, and sometimes we'll make 2 or 3 songs. We'll be like, these are cool, but they're not, like, super fire, you know? Like, they're good, you know? But it when we start, you notice every time we get together, we always, the first song. Every time that we link that,
the
I
first
come
song
back,
is the one.
First song that we ever record is always like a super banger. And then we get stuck the next few songs, and then we'll make one, and it's like, boom, another banger. And it's like, it comes like every 5 or 6 songs. Yeah. Like, we'll get one really good record, like, every 5 or 6 songs.
That's great. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yep. But I always tell him, like,
oh, thank you.
I always tell him. Oh, good. But I always tell him, I think that, like you said, like, cause he be in his head a lot. So, like, we'll be recording, and, like, if he doesn't like what's going on, he'll just delete it. And I always tell him, like, nah, man, you got to get that out.
Yeah,
like you said, like, you got to get those ideas out. Because you know what? Sometimes at the moment, you might think the song's not good. Like, this is what happens a lot. Like, we'll record records and we'll be like, oh, we're not crazy about it. Then we'll hear it a month later and we're like, man, this is kind of dope. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a dope record.
Bro, craziest thing about that is, like, when he played my biggest song's beat, I told him, I was like, I don't like that. I can't rap on it. I don't know what it is about this beat.
Yeah.
Like, never happened to me before, but I was like, this beat, can't do it. Like, I don't know why I can't record on it. And then the next day he plays it again, and I'm like, bro, like, I don't want to get on this beat. I already told you, like, I don't like it. And then he plays it again that night when there's a party in the studio, and I'm drinking Monster, everybody's turning up, you know? And then I'm like, Cito, this is the best beat. And I just go in and freestyle my hit song just like that.
Wow. And it became the record with Lil Skies.
So how did you know?
There's certain beats I make that I just feel like they have a certain vibe, and I know that if they're recorded correctly, like, I know, like, they could be, you know, potentially a big song. That was a beat that I was really crazy about, and I'm like, I'm telling you, man, this is special. Like, let's do this one. He wasn't feeling it at first, but I don't think it's that he didn't like the beat. I just think that the vibe he was in, like, the beat didn't match his vibes at the moment. Like, he
true, it was because we were recording mad songs, and then I was just like, already, like, I don't know, like. Like, cause this is like a, it was like a lit beat, and I was like, I don't know if, like, I'm, like, in that mood, you know. I was kind of more like,
his mood is more chill, and the beat's kind of like more up tempo. That's like when you drank the Monster, and it had you like, when he got that mood, he's like, all right, yeah, I got something. Like, ended up working out.
I mean, that's amazing though, because, you know, a lot of people would have just gave up on that track, right? Yep. They'd have been like, oh, I tried that, I didn't like it. There's, like, you have a certain confidence.
I just think, like, I have an ear for music.
Okay.
So, like I have beats right now in my laptop that I've been sitting on for 2 years just because I feel like they fit certain artists that I haven't been able to get it to.
Right.
So I just don't play it for nobody. But, like, I have this one beat that I've been sitting on for maybe 4 years, and I'm in love with it, and I feel like, whenever Jay-Z and Kanye West decide to drop, you know, Watch the Throne Part 2, like, it's something that's worthy of being on there.
Okay.
Even if it needs to be recreated. But I think, you know, like, I just get ideas like that. Like, I have certain ideas that I sit on because I just feel like they'll be perfect for certain artists, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're enjoying this one, let's go back in the Rebel Radio archives. Check out my interview with Sac Passe, another great young producer. coming up in the game. He's got a very different story of how he's managed his career, but really fascinating stuff as well.
Do you ever question yourself?
All the time. Yeah. I think it's part of the process. Like, you know, I go through those moments where I feel like, damn, should I be doing this? You know, because, you know, with the music industry, things are like, they're super great, and then things just get really slow.
Yeah.
And then you feel like there's nothing going on.
For sure.
Nobody really cares what you're doing, and, you know, kind of like you get stressed out, kind of like a little depressed, you know, and I go through those moments where I question myself, like, man, am I in the right path? Am I in the right career, you know?
Right.
But then, you know, I sit and I'll think about all the stuff I've accomplished, and I'm like, man, I'm tripping. Like I've done so, I've come so far already, like, just keep going, you know?
Like, does it just happen? Or do
sometimes
you
I go party.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, whenever I feel like that, I just go get my mind off it, I'll party, I get in a different vibe, and then I come back and start creating again. Yeah. And I just, like, honestly, it's just about pushing through. I just push through, you know? Like, I just get through it, right?
Who do you look to? Like, some, you know, I mean, this business is so crazy that, you know, like, everybody feels that way, you know. Everybody goes through those cycles, and some people, you know, stay in it too long. Some people move on too quickly. Who do you, you know, do you have like a model that you look to as far as your career, or are there people that you see as mentors that kind of help you?
I mean, when it comes to like getting through stuff, I kind of go through it on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I do have people I can go to for it, but I don't. I feel like I got to figure it out within myself.
Okay.
So whenever I feel like I go through those moments, I kind of just, like, sit back on my own. I might sit in the studio alone, go through some, you know, music I'm working on, and kind of just, like, re-inspire myself, you know? I mean, it's been working for me so far, so, you know, I definitely do that. But, like, Sui's dad is also his manager. You know, he's somebody I talk to. Also, my partner, Jose.
Okay.
Who's, like, you know, he's, like, my best friend. We, you know, just it's dope. Usually him I go to, you know, he's, like, whenever I got to talk about stuff. But majority of the time, I go through it on my own. I just feel like I just got to, like, self-reflect, you know?
Yeah. Well, so talk about this, you know, your site, right? So you were telling me how, you know, it opens the door for up-and-coming artists.
Yeah.
You know, so I know there's a lot of those services where you can just buy beats.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the one kid, I forgot his name, that sold the Old Town Road beat.
Yeah.
For $250 and, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Same thing happened with the kid that, I think he sold it for the same amount of money, the beat for Trap Queen, for Fetty Wap.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that kid too.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, for anybody that doesn't know, like I said, that's a new business, right, where producers are selling beats outright. The person, you know, pays a one-time fee, owns it, you know, forever. Yeah. I think from an old school, you know, record business mentality, that seems crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking to, you know, a friend of mine that's, and he was like, you know, look, most, you know, young producers coming up, I mean, obviously you're making hit records, but a lot of guys coming up, right, they're just trying to get beats out, and most of their beats aren't going to make any money at all. And so you might as well get $50 or a couple $100, and, you know, you just take that risk that one thing blows up and you didn't participate in it.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of crazy.
Give me your perspective, because
I think that's kind of crazy. The way I do it on my website is, so I had like a lawyer write, you know, so I have kind of like a template contract, so I don't give out like. I don't sell my rights.
You don't sell it out,
not even to major labels.
Okay.
Like I lease whatever I'm doing. You know, like I do exclusive leasing.
Yep.
So just to avoid those things. Like, you know, you're not just gonna buy a beat on my website for $300 and go make $1 million with it and think I'm not gonna get any splits.
Yeah.
So like, I put all of that into the contract, you know, and make sure that, you know, when they purchase the beat off the website, you know, they have that in their email, you know, and it states like I'm still entitled to splits and, you know, I still own my masters, you know, I don't sell my masters ever.
So. Right.
I think that's
something. Yeah, that seems way smarter.
A lot of producers should be doing that. I don't know why they would just, except they're young, you know? They're just looking at, like, money for right now. They're not thinking for the future.
That's what my man said. It was like, it's weed money, right? And you weren't going to have it anyway, so you might as well get something.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you end up selling yourself short, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I made the Old Town Road beat, and, you know, hopefully he bought that dude a car or something. Or, I mean, he's probably getting a lot of work now because of it. Which is great too.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
I'm sure that dude had to be upset at some point. That, like,
of course.
See all that happening and he's not there for it.
Right, cause, like, wasn't it like number one for like.
Yeah, it was the biggest, longest number one single of all time.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I would have been sick to my stomach. $250.
Of course.
What?
Right?
That's a pair of sneakers.
Yeah. Not even, so what can not, you even do a, not even bucks, a like limited a
pair,
edition
get, yeah like buy yourself a pair of shoes, like maybe right. maybe go to the movies and get yourself some food. Like, that's crazy for a number one record. That's I can't do that.
Yeah, no, so your way makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And do you, so when someone buys a beat off the site, are you like, I mean, you just send them the file, you're done with it?
Actually, the way the websites work is it does it for you.
Okay.
So, like, all I have to really do is just make the beat and upload it.
But I guess what I mean is you're not watching those kids to see how the track does, or like, you're not using it for like A&R to find people.
Nah.
Okay.
I don't.
Let it go.
Maybe I should. That's actually pretty smart. I don't know why I never did that.
Well, it's a lot of extra work. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, tracks you're selling, but
yeah, I mean, a lot of the kids do reach out, like whenever they record on whatever they buy on my page.
Yeah.
They'll like DM me the links and check out what I did on your beat and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I do check for that.
Okay.
It's hard to like kind of like, I don't, because when they purchase the record, you know, when I look on my website, I only see like real names or whatever they used to purchase it.
So
I don't even know what they go by.
Or, right.
You know, it's like, sometimes I see like weird stuff like mom's credit cards and stuff, you know, like, so you like, you never know who's buying it. So I don't even know who's purchasing these beats sometimes.
Right. And then it just shows up on SoundCloud or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's funny.
But I do have, like, all my beats that are on my website, I have them registered. Uh-huh. So, like, so if they try to, like, put it up without, like, it being authorized, like, mm-hmm. they'll get pulled down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll get a warning.
Right.
Like, that they can't keep it up.
Yeah.
So, they're kind of, like, forced to reach out to me anyway.
Yeah. No, that's a cool business. Like I said, you know, the... I think it's kind of what we were talking about before. It hopefully it kind of evens out some of the highs and lows, right? That if you have this steady stream of music coming out, because I've worked with producers, and sometimes there'll be a long period of time when you're just playing shit for people and no one's buying anything.
Yeah, it's part of the process, though.
Yeah,
I always tell producers, I think that for a lot of producers, that's like they get discouraged. From that, and then maybe they start feeling like they're just not good, and then they don't want to do it anymore. But it's like, nah, it doesn't mean you're not good. It's just like, you just gotta keep going, man. Like, not everything you do is gonna be for everybody.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. I just keep going, man, and I just send stuff out. In this business, you can't take things personal if somebody doesn't like your work. I think that's another thing. Like, people get so attached to the creative process of everything that they like, they fall in love with a beat, and then the minute you tell them like that beat's not good, they're like, they catch feelings because they're so attached. And they're like, I don't get attached to none of my work.
Yeah.
Like, my work kind of like, I pitch out beats so fast and I work on them so quickly that like, I don't get attached to them. I just kind of do it, and you know, like, and I'm always open to working with producers, you know, like, you know, I might do something, the producer's like, man, I think I could add this and make it better, change this. I'm like, yeah, let's do it, you know, like, let's, whatever, like, to me, it's like, whatever's gonna make it work, right. Whatever's gonna make the record better, you know, like, let's do it. I'm not like, no, I made that, like, yo, don't touch my stuff, like, this is great, you know. There's a lot of producers that are like that, though.
But I wonder if the speed has something to do with that, too, because I think you're right. You spend weeks with a piece of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you start to feel attached to it. Like, you can't help. You can't, you know. I can understand why you would, right?
But you shouldn't. I mean, if you want to be in the business, you shouldn't, because... Yeah. You know, it's, you know, you might get crushed. You know, you might have people that say like, "Nah, this is not it." You know, you gotta just know to be like, "All right, cool. Let me go back to the drawing board and start over."
Right.
You know, and I think we're also in a time where like you kind of like have to move fast, and that's probably why I work so quickly. Like I can bang out 15, 20 beats a day if I really wanted to. Like
that's crazy.
You know, like when I sit there, I'm not even talking about whole day. I can do that in 4 hours. It takes me like I've never worked on a beat longer than 30 minutes.
Wow.
It takes me about 30 minutes to like complete a beat, complete all the way.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and then, you know, now you have like, you have sites like Splice. Have you ever heard of Splice?
I haven't been on it, but
so Splice is kind of like, you can go on there and they have like other producers put loops up there, mm-hmm. and like it's just like a library of stuff that you, so I'll go on there and I'll get inspiration. I might run through like some guitars, I'll hear like a drum I like,
mm-hmm.
and so it kind of like it's like, that's why I don't get writer's block.
Sure.
You know, because it's like have all these ideas that you could use. It's kind of like chopping up samples that are already chopped up for you, and then you kind of just tweak them to make them your own. So like even with that, it makes the process so much faster for me,
for sure.
OD, like, you know, because I might go in there, and it's cool because I could type in what I'm looking for. I might be like, you know, dark melodies, and then mm-hmm. it'll just be a bunch of like really dark stuff, and I'll pick something I like, kind of like chop it up and turn it into my own. So it kind of speeds up the process. So now I'm making beats 15, 20 minutes. I'm getting a whole beat done.
Wow. Know? That's amazing.
It makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, I bet. What's the goal? What's next?
Well, right now I'm still pushing the single. Mm-hmm. Familiar, you know, we're doing really well right now. You know, I'm trying to get the video.
So that's your record as an artist.
It's my record. So yeah. I'm kind of like doing like the whole Metro Boomin,
right.
kind of like DJ Mustard thing, where I'm like the producer. I'm getting artists on my record, kind of pitching them the idea of, you know, what I want them to talk about, the concept, and then, you know, putting them out as my record. So this is actually my first record I dropped like that.
Nice.
But
Is that where you want to go? Is the kind of,
yeah, I want to keep building on that, mm-hmm. and then keep building on placement, you know, like just getting work done and building, you know. So he's like my first artist that I'm really like dedicating time to. So, you know, we've been doing really well. He's actually signed up at Empire.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we've been just working on him and just working. I've worked with a couple artists up here.
Oh, cool.
I work a lot with Jeff Vaughn.
Oh, okay, cool. That's family.
I just did.
And I know you got some tracks with Kevin.
Yeah, I did Case Closed on Kevin Gates. Yeah, nice. Jeff got me that. And then I just recently, before that, I did something for them with PMVJ.
Mm-hmm.
It's another artist they have.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of just like, you know, pitching music. I do a lot of work with YG and Mustard. Like, me and Mustard did a lot of stuff together. Maybe like a year and a half ago. So I did two joints on the Stay Dangerous album.
Okay.
I did one with YG and Ty Dolla Sign that I co-produced with Mustard. Like a tower. She said, "Dollar, I can see it through your trousers. Put it in, she get louder and louder. Yeah, yeah, that pussy tastes like water. Yeah, yeah, I'm Zeddy, I'm Papa. Hit that pussy Papa, screaming like the opera." And another one for him and Mazi that I also co-produced with Mustard.
Nice.
Called Too Brazy. So, but yeah, man, I just, you know, collaborating, you know, right now I'm like, I want to collaborate with more producers, and I want to kind of just stay in the realm of working with young artists, you know, like artists' age. Like, there's a lot of young artists coming up right now, you know, that I want to work with, you know, in that realm, like Sui, there's TJ Porter, Lil TJ, you know, like Luke Kell. I mean, there's a lot of them, you know, it's a lot of them bass swag.
What are you learning from the young cats?
they keep me relevant, you know, like they keep me in the loop. So yeah. I don't, you know, cause I'm 29, so it's like.
Yeah, you all know.
Yeah, I mean, older, a lot older than them, you know? But
I'm not gonna tell you how old I am.
I like to stay hip to what's going on, so it even helps me, you know, even with the production.
Yeah.
Because I could stay polished all the time. Yeah. I know what the kids want to hear, what they're listening to, you know, through them. So it kind of like, it helps. So I focus a lot on staying around the youth and just helping them grow, you know, and helping them develop. That's really, you know, that's really where I want to start taking things.
Well, so you're 29. So, you know, you came up in that Jay era, right?
Yep.
Which was kind of the tail end of what, you know, old guys like me think of as like the golden age, right?
Yep.
You know, so we have like this reference, you know, we think about Jay back to, you know, Run DMC or Grandmaster Flash, like, and, you know, as kind of the defining the culture.
Okay.
And then, you know, cats of the next generation, like, they have a whole different perspective. And we hear it sometimes when you know.
Yeah, I hear it like, a lot with him. Like, you know, he's younger, so when I hear him talk about, like, what artists are his favorites, I'll be like, damn, it's kind of young for me, you know? Like,
like what? Like, who?
Like, who's one of your favorite artists?
Like, my favorite artists?
Like, who are the people that, like really
when we first met, you told me, like, one of your biggest inspirations when you first started rapping was Young Thug. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like, yeah, like that. But I have a different music taste when, like, listening to, like, music I, like, love. But the music that inspired me to, like, rap and, like, all that and, like, music I get inspiration from is like Young Thug, Future, Migos, stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
But like,
you're younger, so like, this is your generation.
Yeah,
but
for
like
sure.
To me, those are like newer artists.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like when I think about it, I just like, you know, it's just like you can see the difference in generations.
For sure. So what are we going to say though? Like as far as just listening, like what's, give me some.
Tupac's my favorite rapper.
Okay.
All time.
Yeah.
But people be think I cap. Like they,
people think you cap.
They think I cap. They're like, nah, he just be saying that.
Nah, you don't. No, he legit listens to Tupac. He knows all the lyrics. I've seen him recite it like word by word.
You don't want
to
see that.
Right?
Yeah, like yeah. We be in the car and he's like he recites word for word. He's definitely a Tupac fan for sure.
What's your favorite Pac song?
I would say How Do You Want It.
How do you want it?
How do you want to
You ever seen the video?
I don't know. I get the videos confused.
That's
no.
That's,
I get around. I get around.
Oh, that's get around. That's
okay.
Great too.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Find the uncensored. How do you want it? Video.
What is
it's
it?
It's an uncensored version.
Yeah. I have it on VHS somewhere at home in the garage.
That's crazy.
It's sick.
Damn, I never knew that. You just put me on.
It was like Casey and JoJo, and they filmed it in a strip club,
mm-hmm.
and it was off the chain.
That's dope.
Yeah, you gotta find that online.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. I'm gonna watch that today too. Actually, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it's funny. So it's interesting. Like, so you listen to that, but then that's not really what inspires your style, right?
Yeah, it's cause like, I mean, I could, like, I was inspired, like, by Tupac to rap, you know, like, I was like, oh, yeah, this and that, like, I want to be like Tupac, but it was just, like, I can't realistically do something like that and come up, because, like, there's not anybody doing that, you know, and not just because there's not anybody doing it is not why I can't do it, it's just, like, honestly, it's, like, a much harder, larger route, like, it's so hard for anyone to take me serious, you know, like, alone, so it's, like, you gotta be taken serious to do stuff like that, you know?
Sure.
So I just went on the wave now. It's like, it's really the wave, like all this trap music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been, like the stuff we've been creating kind of like, we've been kind of getting away from that. I feel like trap music right now is kind of like in a place where everything's a little more melodic for the kids.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Things are not so so dark, right. Like it was like when Future and right. Thug was coming up. Now things are a little
more, it's pretty sparse, right?
Yeah, everything's yeah. kind of like more like jolly, like
happy sounding type stuff.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, I think we've been aiming for a lot of that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, it's funny because you know, I think you have to really be in it to kind of feel all those differences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like people like to sit on the sidelines and, you know, compare, like you said, like, you know, to my generation, like that whole, you know, they're grouping like three generations together of younger cats and just yeah. kind of, you know, complaining about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have much patience for like, on, you know, just complaining about other people's shit, right? Like, I think, you know.
I think a lot of people, and when I mean people, I mean, like, older generations, I feel like there's always that they just can't grasp onto newer music because
right.
they're not into it.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Like, instead of, like, I feel like they, instead of embracing younger artists, are kind of like, oh, yeah, that's not music, you know? Right. Like, oh, that's shit, or that's trash.
Well, it's funny how they forget, and, you know, I'm guilty of it once in a while, too, but I catch myself. But it's like, you forget that, you know, your parents did the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And we have this term, you know, called hip-hop, and then we expect everything to kind of be the same. But it's not. It's for, you know, that's a 40-year-old art form, right? That, like, there's no way that there's one sound that everything's supposed to sound the same. It's supposed to change over time.
Yeah, exactly. I was telling him yesterday in the car, I'm like, I don't think there's such thing as bad music, because that's an opinion, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you might not like a song, but that song you don't like is special to somebody else around the world, you know what I'm saying? So I think that term of like, oh, this artist sucks, is like I don't believe that. I think every artist,
I agree. I think so. Although, like, I think a lot of artists suck, but just to me, like,
yeah, like,
I don't
like your opinion,
it,
yeah,
but that doesn't mean
that they
else.
Actually suck, you
yeah.
know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Just like you could debate that there's people that say like Jay-Z is not a good rapper. I've heard
right.
people tell me that, and I think they're insane, but like, that's just my opinion, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like nobody's opinion really matters. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing something you love and other people,
yeah, I always tell people
too,
that I'm like, you know, because like, how could you call artists, you know, trash or be like they suck, but they're fucking selling number one records, like, or they've had number one records, so
right.
obviously they don't suck that bad, and somebody likes their stuff.
Right.
People out there actually like their shit.
Yeah, but so. I think we like to feel like, I think that's just human nature. We like to feel like everybody else is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, we know something that mm-hmm. everyone else doesn't know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
I also think that music sometimes, like, people call, like, for example, Old Town Road. I know that kid got a lot of shit for that record, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, the record's fun. Like, it's not like he got in the studio was trying to make a serious song.
Right.
Like, take the song for what it is.
For sure.
You know, people kind of just like, oh, I can't get into this. And it's kind of like, bro, it's a fun record. You know, it might not be for you. It's for kids. Like,
right.
Let it live where it lives.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
my
it,
kid loves
know?
It.
Yeah, like,
I'm
like, let it be what it is.
And I'm
know?
Just like, it's not for me, but it's for
like
somebody.
I've seen
a lot of other people.
I've seen people like, you know, like, oh, this is in hip hop.
Right.
Or, you know, it's like, it has hip hop elements. I wouldn't consider a complete hip hop record.
Right.
It definitely has hip-hop elements, though, so, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think there's no such thing as trash music, though. I don't call any records, like, trash. I'll just be like, I don't like that song.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not for me. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
But, hey, to each his own.
Yeah, for sure. What do you tell producers that are starting out? What's the most important piece of advice he give young cats?
Man, stay consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, stay focused, stay consistent. I feel like producers say they want to do it, but they're like, you know, if you're not making at least a beat every day, like, you don't want this bad enough. You know, like,
bro, that's crazy, because, like, producers would, like, hit me up so many times, like, bro, let me just send you beats. Like, it's a dream of mine. I'm like, let's get it.
Yeah.
Send me beats.
Send
And they sent it. I'm like, I wasn't really feeling that pack. Send another one. And they sent like two beats. Like, yeah, this is what you wanted. Like, you wanted. Right. Like, they hit me up with all this just to do that. Like, I'm like, bro, I didn't like those beats. Like, that's all you have. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's a fact. That's what I'm saying. Like, and that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, you know, you kind of like, we're in a generation, you know, we're in a time where the new generation, they kind of like, they move through the music fast. It ain't like back in the day where we could sit on records for a long time. Right. Now it's like records come and go, like,
sure.
They're hot now, 2 months, and another song's hot. Like, I remember before growing up, records would be hot half the year.
Yeah.
Like a whole year. Listen, I bought a Jay-Z album, that'd be my album the entire year.
Right.
Like,
well, it was a whole different process, right? Yeah. Like, you spend a year making a record, or half a year, and then you have three singles, you know, and then you go on tour.
And there's so much more music being pumped out now, too, you know? It's like, it's crazy. It's like, I forgot what they told me. They told me it was like somewhere like 30, 40,000 songs a day
on Spotify.
It's insane. I was like, what? So many songs are uploaded every day.
Yeah.
Like, how could you really keep up with music? That's why.
Yeah, I mean, more music than you could ever listen to comes up every day.
Yeah, so how can you really sit and like, people are just, there's no time to like, they just want to hear a song, keep going, keep going. Like, there's so many songs, like.
But all the songs nowadays are like, just like mine, they're all like a minute 30. Gotta have mad songs. Like, my playlist, like, I run through my playlist, like, on the way to the corner store. Like,
is that right?
Yeah.
Because it's all just 1 minute songs.
Yeah.
We make short songs.
Yeah.
You know, but I like short songs because, especially nowadays with streaming, because I feel like longer songs don't have replay value.
Right.
You know, like, if you listen nowadays, if a kid listens to a song that's 4 minutes, he might listen to it once and then go on to the next.
Yeah.
But if he listens to a song he really likes that's a minute 30, he's going to play it back and play it back and play it back.
Right. Yeah. If he wants to keep running it back. I'll skip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you skip. Exactly. That's the mentality now. Back in the day, it wasn't like that.
That's so interesting because, like, I was actually just reading a book about that, how music is created for the environment that is listened, that is heard in, right? And so, like, they were talking about the, you know, the jazz cats in the 40s and 50s, they would, you know, they would improvise and they would have these 12, 15-minute songs, and it was to keep people at the bar drinking longer, right? Because you're supposed to be in the club listening to this band play, and, you know, they had to fill up 4 hours or whatever so that people would stay there drinking, so they had longer songs. And, you know, but then when you're playing that Miles Davis at home, you're not thinking about that, right? But now it's a totally different environment, and you got to make the song that fits the way people want to listen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. It's like, and now people have, like, short time spans. Like,
sure.
Like, you know, like, nobody wants to, like, sit and listen to it. Even me, I'm not going to hold you. I can't. I got to really like a song and listen through to it all the way through. Like,
yeah.
I might like a song. I might like a song a lot. Once it hits that second verse, I'm like, switch. I listen to, like, the first hook, the verse, the hook, and then I'm like, switch.
Yeah.
Unless it has a feature, then I want to listen to the other person.
Right, right, right.
But besides that, I'm like, I'm not even listening to a song complete.
Right? Yeah, facts.
I'm not even running through a whole song anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah. Can't even remember the last time I ran through an entire song.
So how do you think about that when you're writing your lyrics? Like, is there...
When I'm bored of the song, I gotta...
You're done.
Save it and finish.
Yeah. Like, keep it moving.
Yesterday, me and Cito were recording a song, and I'm in the middle of the verse rapping, and he's sitting there, because we record everything in my room, and I'm just rapping, and then I'm like, I start mumbling, and I'm like, blah, 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 and I'm like, yo, fuck that, Cito, bring the hook back in, and literally, I'm just mumbling, and he just brings the hook back in, because I was like, he said the recording, playing around.
And I was like, that was actually dope,
keep it.
And we kept it,
that's dope.
And it was like, it's like the highlight of the song,
he's
actually rapping, and then it's like, he messes up, and he just says like some gibberish, and then he's like, fuck that, he's like, bring the hook back in, so I just cut the beat there.
People are probably gonna love that.
Yeah, when he says fuck that, I just like cut the beat, and it's just like quiet, and he's like, bring the hook back in,
it's so funny.
Boom, and it drops, and the hook comes back.
You could tell that I was like, you could tell in the recording process, I was already bored of the verse. Like, I was bored of like rapping it over. I was like, I'm gonna mumble and bubble. I'm like, bro, this is like, bring the hook back in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so organic though, and it's like, that's another thing. Like, you know, people, we're in a time right now where people don't want to hear serious music. People want to have fun, especially these kids. You know, you have things like Triller and TikTok, where kids want to be able to like do their little woes and videos. That's like, you know, so like things like that, you know, go viral because it's things that kids, believe it or not, it's things that kids are going to be doing.
They're gonna want to say that.
Because it's just fun. You know, it's like it's fun to say.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, definitely.
So I told him it's always great to have, you know, I always, when we record, I always make sure that the song has at least one part that is like every song is supposed to have a special moment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always supposed to be that special moment in the song. Like I always go back to that record that ASAP Rocky put out a couple years ago. I don't even remember it. It had 2 Chainz and Kendrick Lamar on it.
Okay.
And there's a part where like the beat stops and Kendrick goes, "Girl, I know you want this dick," like, and he's like, "I'm Kendrick Lamar," and like that part of the song is so special because like even in the club when they play it, the DJ could stop it and you'll hear the whole crowd go like, "Girl, I know you want this dick."
You know the craziest thing is, I've never heard that song, but I've heard that part.
Because it's the highlight of the record.
I've probably seen it in a funny video or something.
Yeah, because it's the highlight of the song. I feel like every song needs to have like has to have a special moment in it. You know.
Yeah. Let me ask you something as an artist. How are you thinking about your social media, like your interaction with fans?
What do you mean? How was I thinking about it?
Like, you know, I think it's so much a part of being an artist today, right? Is that, you know, again, it used to be you could lock yourself away, not really talk to fans.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's like with the social media stuff, I feel like it's amazing because it gives chances to so many people who wouldn't have a chance back in the day when you have to, like, push out your records, like, actually push them out yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, because I tell a lot of my friends, they're like, bro, like, I want to get big in music, and I want to rap and this and that, but I don't have money, I don't have this, I don't have that. I'm like, bro, I know you have an iPhone.
Right.
Instagram is free.
Yeah.
Twitter's free.
Yeah.
These apps are free, you know, like, you could literally blow up on social media and your music's going to take off. Like, what I did is, like, shot my video on the iPhone, put it on YouTube, promoted it on Instagram, promoted myself through social media with comedy and different types of ways.
Yes.
Funny stuff, controversy, you know, like different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it just grows the music. And I love that because, like, a lot of my friends, like, right now, like, don't have much money and they're blowing up just off of social media stuff just because it gives everyone a chance.
Have you ever put up something you wish you hadn't said?
Nah, social, because I don't take it that serious. Like, social media is just like, yeah, like, some kids will be like, oh my god, I can't believe this person just said that in my comments. But me, it's just like, I can say anything in the world, but I just don't give a fuck. Like, I'm gonna die alone in my casket, you know? Like, ain't nobody gonna lay with me.
Yeah, facts. That's
a fact.
That's right. Okay, let me get to this lightning round. So, what's your favorite city to travel to?
LA.
Okay.
Right here, where we at?
It used to be the Bay. When I was there.
You're from the Bay.
That's a fact. I do love the Bay.
Where are you from?
San Jose.
Oh, okay. I grew up in San Francisco.
What?
Yes, sir.
That's crazy. I'm meeting so many people from the Bay right when I leave.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's funny. Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ, actually my best friend. His name's DJ Fast Life.
Okay. Yeah, we gotta check him out.
He's my favorite DJ.
Nice. Sui, who's your favorite DJ?
DJ Fast Life. He's the littest DJ.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. I'm always down to learn about new DJs.
Yeah, he's lit. It's like, he don't even got to play music. He's lit himself.
Yeah,
he's that. DJ Fast Life, we about to turn it. Good job. I'm like, hey.
Yep. He has a lot of energy here.
Okay.
Yeah, he's dope.
Cool. What's the last great book you read?
Raising Kanye.
Oh, I don't know it.
Never read that book? It was written by his mom.
Yeah.
Right before she passed.
Oh, that's...
It's called Raising Kanye.
Seems like it'd be great.
I actually bought the book And that was like my last great read.
Okay.
I read it back in 09, and then I just reread it a few months ago.
Dope.
So, yeah.
What movie have you seen the most in your life?
What movie have I seen the most? It's between two movies.
Huh?
Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
Is one of them, and Juice.
That's a good combination.
Yeah. I've watched those movies a million times.
Both great movies.
Yeah, true.
You got one?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen Mike and Dave New Wedding Dates. I've probably seen that like a thousand times.
Okay.
And then I had The Other Guys.
Oh, yeah.
On like a CD, and that's all I had, and I was just like, watch that every single night.
Man, that whole shit with it, when they go meet his wife, like, we can,
yeah.
We can stop laughing.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's so funny.
Bruh,
yeah, those are good movies. Yeah, those are good movies.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me one decision to change your life forever.
One decision that changed my life forever? The minute I had kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, when I had my first son, that changed my life forever.
That's crazy. We went from movies to this. I'm like
we get serious. Yeah, that's a good one. Mine too.
Yeah. That definitely changed my life forever.
How about you?
Yeah, mine too. 3-year-old. Oh, yeah. Nah, I'm playing. It changed my life.
I think I know the answer for you. I think I know what it is.
What?
It was that moment when
you were able to
help your family out with everything.
Yeah, no, it was really the moment when my grandpa and grandma both like passed away in the same year.
Mm.
And I've never had anybody pass like that.
Yeah.
You know? When they passed, and it just like showed me like, damn, like shit can just be taken away that easy. You know, I need to give my family the best life I can give them while they're here.
Yeah.
And they were struggling every day with work and stuff, and it really opened my eyes that I could really help them out.
Yeah. Yeah, we got all serious now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna world premiere a new question. See if it works. We'll test it out. Sometimes I wake up, most days I wake up with a song playing in my head, and it's not always a song I like. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
What's the last song? I mean, no, it doesn't have to be that. I'm just saying, what's the last song you remember, like, waking up to?
Oh my God. I'm coming now. I want the world to know. Yeah.
Wait, see, you got something you want to tell us? you got something you want to tell again?
Nah, man, I don't know. I woke up with that song in my head.
It's a good song, man. I'm not going
to. Yeah, it is a good song.
I woke up with a Van Halen song playing in my head this morning.
Yeah?
Which is actually, it's not like a song that I love, but it plays in my head a lot in the morning for some reason.
Wow. What about you?
How about you? Does that happen to you?
I think he thinks about his own song.
I don't know. I wake up like, God, man, I really got to get out of this bed. I don't hear no kind of music. I'm just like, let's go. All
right. Fair enough.
Well, so, I hear Cito making beats in my room. Yeah. I'm like.
Yeah.
Work to do.
Yeah, facts.
I get it. If I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
He's drinking. That's like my
saying.
We need Tito's. Yeah, I do that all the time. Like whenever I'm drinking, I always go, he's drinking.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah.
I say it like 20 times a day. Yeah, for sure. That's a good question, actually.
He says that 20 times a day. That means he's drinking 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Well, he might say it over and over while he's drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
he be drinking 20 times a day.
Yeah, no.
How about you?
I'm a rock star.
What was the question?
Well, if I worked for you, what would I hear you say over and over?
I need some hot Cheetos. I'm not working till I get my hot Cheetos.
That's a fact.
That's in the writer.
Huh? He liked hot Cheetos with lemon.
Okay.
And
a little bit of salt.
Nice.
Yeah, we might fuck around, throw some fruit in there. Stop playing with me.
He's weird. Like some real Mexican stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Some real Mexican stuff.
I be playing pork skin in my Cheetos.
Okay.
Go crazy.
Is that right?
That sounds crazy.
That's what I'm having for breakfast.
Well, let's promote the music. What's coming up next, and where does everybody find it?
Well, Familiar's out right now, featuring Tory Lanez, TJ Porter, and Sui.
Dope.
Sui just dropped a project, a single called Zoom. It's out right now. Go check that out.
Yes, sir.
And, his album Tsunami is out right now, too. Been out for a few months. Keep streaming that. And me and Sui got, another album on the way.
Album 21.
Yeah, we'll be checking. We'll be checking that. I appreciate y'all. Come back anytime. You want to promote something, whatever.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate you, man.
Yo, that was Sito with Sui Generis on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Make sure you leave us a comment on Twitter, on Facebook, etc. We're at Rebel Radio Net. You can always leave us 5 stars on iTunes if you're in the mood. And most importantly, come back next week and check out more Rebel Radio. Peace.